Turkey wakes up to an entirely new political landscape this morning. All three parties in the coalition government have been unceremoniously booted out of parliament, and the Justice and Development Party, or AK Party, has swept to power with an overall majority. The BBC's Andrei Vornik has been following this astonishing victory. Andrei, much has been made of AK Party's Islamist roots. Is there any real reason to think that this will influence Turkish life, the Turkish secular image?
I think, Ritula, what people will tell you here is that they expect more tolerance from the state. They expect the government to be more tolerant of the country's heritage and traditions. The AK Party has said it will not question the secular nature of the regime. And most commentators think that the party has come a long way towards meeting the tenets of the republic founded by Kemal Atatürk, a strictly secular republic, that it will remain a key Western ally, and that not much will change, in effect, in the way the country is run.
The other question that has been on everyone's lips is Turkey's relationship with the EU. The party has been promising that it will continue on the path of reform. Is that, though, something that it can maintain, given that the electorate's voted for change?
The electorate has voted for change, but I think one thing we must bear in mind is probably the example of former communist parties in Eastern Europe. They were much feared, but once they came to power, very often they proved to be the most reformist. Certainly the AK Party has said it will push forward very strongly with membership of the European Union. Many people who have voted for the AK Party here have told us that they absolutely want to join the European Union, that that is the only hope for prosperity, and that's what they expect the new government to do.
Now, the party's leader, Tayyip Erdogan, can't actually become prime minister. Do we know who's likely to lead the party?
Well, it could very well be his deputy, Abdullah Gül, but people here have voted quite clear for Mr. Erdogan, and it may be that Mr. Erdogan will continue to make policy while Mr. Gül runs the government. In terms of the external pressures which are piling up on Turkey, especially a possible attack by the United States on Iraq, Mr. Erdogan last night said quite clearly, if Iraq pushes us to the brink, if it does not get rid of its weapons of mass destruction, we may have no choice. So that gives you a measure of the extent to which a possible AK government will continue traditional Turkish foreign policy.
And what about Bülent Ecevit, a long time in Turkish politics, a rather ignominious end?
Indeed, a sad departure for one of the most venerable men of Turkish politics. He's been around for 45 years, and although people here tend to like him and respect him as a man, they do think he's been around too long. He gave a feeling earlier this year that he was clinging on to power. He's an old man, he's a sick man, and his party barely polled more than 1% across the country. It's a measure of the enormous rejection here of everything that this government has stood for the last 3 years.
Okay, Andrei Vornik, thank you very much indeed. Well, on the line now is Mumtaz Soysal, a former foreign minister of Turkey. Good morning, Mr. Soysal.
Good morning.
We heard there a fairly upbeat assessment of this government's prospects. Do you think that it can maintain a sort of steady-as-she-goes course?
Yes, it will have to, because of the domestic and foreign factors that would limit its action and stop it from following very radical policies and attempting to change the regime.
Looking at the question of a possible war with Iraq quite specifically, do you think then that Washington can count on Turkey's support now?
Yes, I think so, because this party, which has now come to power with a very large amount of votes, has the blessing of Washington, I think, because Mr. Erdogan has made some trips, one or two trips to United States and contact people there before attempting to run. And he needs that support because the U.S. has to show his government as an example of moderate Islam, which can combine both democracy, human rights, and the precepts of Islam in a democratic and modern state. So he will have to collaborate with Washington in his foreign policy too.
One of Turkey's biggest concerns about a possible war with Iraq would be its effect on Kurdish nationalism. Are the Kurds likely to fare any differently under this new government?
Not quite, because their party has participated to these elections. and the amount of votes that it could gather did not exceed 7%. So it's obvious that many people have also voted for parties like this. And so therefore, I don't think that there will be a completely different Kurdish attitude, and they will have to follow the same line as this party in on this issue, the Iraqi issue too.
And one of the big outstanding foreign policy issues facing Turkey is, of course, a resolution of the Cyprus question. Is that likely to be helped or hindered by this new government?
No, not quite, because the Cyprus policy in Turkey is not has not been the policy of one party or one sector of the Turkish establishment. It has become a state policy made with the collaboration of different sectors of the establishment, including the military. So it would be futile for any party to attempt to change it radically. But at the same time, one should consider that this party wants also to be in good relations with EU, and it needs, for instance, the collaboration of some European establishment institutions like the Human Rights Court, etc. So therefore, the European desire for a solution in Cyprus may affect their policy, and they may be a little bit more conciliatory than the present or the past coalition, but not to the extent of changing the Cyprus policy drastically.
Okay, Mr. Mumtaz Soysal, former Foreign Minister of Turkey, thank you very much indeed.